It was July in the French town of Cannes. I was sitting there in a New York-style restaurant, eating overpriced fries and a chocolate milkshake. I had just arrived an hour or so earlier from a six-hour train ride, but it was hard not to feel excited. This was the Festival du Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival. How I ended up attending the Festival du Cannes was a direct result of my expertise in internet rabbit holes. So just to preface, I'm a huge fan of Wes Anderson, and his newest film, The French Dispatch, is finally going to premiere at the Cannes Film Festival after a year of delays due to you know what. And to be honest, last year during my birthday, I even asked my sister to buy a full-sized French Dispatch poster for me in anticipation of the movie release. Anyways, all this is to say that sometime in May, I just casually googled how one can get into the Festival de Cannes. And turns out, you can't buy your way in. The only way to attend is if you have an accreditation badge, either for professionals in the film industry, for journalists, and wait, 18 to 25-year-olds with a passion for cinema. Long story short, I applied for this 3-day in Cannes youth pass that the festival has for, well, youth, by writing a semi-pretentious letter about all the art house movies I like. And there I was, having a chocolate milkshake right across from the Palais du Festival, using the restaurant's free Wi-Fi to check the WhatsApp group for updates about the festival. At around 6 p.m., I see this message. Hey, does anyone want a ticket for The Story of My Wife at 6:45 tonight? I unfortunately cannot make it, and I would love to give my ticket away. I look at the top right corner of my phone. It was 6:02 p.m. I text the person immediately, and after some back and forth, they finally sent me a digital QR code of the ticket at 6:10 p.m. According to the festival program, all the attendees are expected to show up at least 15 minutes before, at 6:30 p.m. It was 6:11. 19 minutes to walk back to my apartment, change into a tuxedo complete with a bow tie, as is the archaic dress code of the Festival du Cannes in the evening. As soon as I realized this, I turned immediately towards the direction of my apartment, scaring away a few pigeons and the guy playing the accordion on the street. When adrenaline is involved, the metaphorical hourglass that is time becomes more like kinetic sand. So I don't know how long it took for me to run all the way back to my apartment. But I get there, unlock the door, strip naked in 5 seconds, toss all the clothes onto the bed, change into a tuxedo without knowing how a bow tie works, grab my keys, yes, glasses, yes, mask, very important, run outside, attempt to lock the door, it doesn't work, I drop my keys, and the plastic decoration on my rented apartment keys fall off, I pick it up, stuff it in my pocket, I lock the door again, it locks, good, I take the elevator down, I run in the dark through the apartment hallways, I run back out onto the streets, but this time with my platform shoes, which makes a very pretentious sounding click-clack behind me on the cobblestone streets. Some tourists turn around to see what I was doing. I keep running towards the Palais du Festival. I need to cross the street. This is a very busy street. There are a lot of tourists in front of me. I do not want to cross the street. I turn and cross another street. I am already sweating in my tuxedos. I keep running. I walk into the line as two people are turned away from wearing sneakers instead of platform shoes. I show the people working there my negative COVID test. They let me in. It was 6:31 p.m. I made it. I won't bore you anymore with any of my film festival minutiae or McDonald's croissant details, but a thing I was most surprised about is how little the film festival actually had to do with film itself. As in, the people who were attending the world's largest movie event almost see the actual screening part as a chore, like, oh, I have to go and watch this movie now at 8:30 a.m. Everybody just has this pent-up energy to use the festival as a reason to talk to one another, to turn away from the screen to the person sitting next to them and ask, so what do you think? As a poorly disguised plea for socialization. And this is not just my experience either. You see, during my first day at the festival, all of this energy and people on the streets, well, I guess it just gave me the courage to bring out my microphone and interview some kind-faced strangers on how they felt.
He's very... He creates friendships and he's very... Like, I like the relations we can make here.
For me, it's important because I'm waiting since 1 year to be here. Uh-huh. So I was supposed to be here in 2020. Oh. So I'm very, very happy to be here, and it's a very big pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Amélie. I'm coming from Paris. I'm here for work. Oh. Because I'm working production. So we're here to meet some professional and to watch movie as well. And yeah, there's a specific ambience here.
Yeah.
Like we know that all of the people here are just in love with cinema, and so there is good vibes. And the sun, obviously, yeah. And the heat. But,
when I first approached Amélie, she was sitting by herself on the concrete curb in front of the Palais, looking rather exhausted.
How are you enjoying yourself at Cannes so far? You seem a little bit tired, are you?
Yeah, completely tired. I don't sleep really well. Not enough. I'm waking up like really early, and I'm just doing a lot of meetings, a lot of films. But it's really cool, and I think that we have the chance to do this festival this year because with the COVID, it's a little bit different this year. But I think that I am really, really lucky because when we cannot have culture in the day, you understand that how much it's important in life to have culture, and just have the possibility to be surrounded by people. Something that we just haven't when it was the lockdown.
Yeah.
And so I think that all this organization is incredible, and they made everything possible to be safe,
yeah.
To watch movies, to have a good vibe, to experiment all of the possibilities that we have to share stories. And I think that this is why we are really, really lucky to be here. And I had just discovered that right now.
That's great.
And then, of course, there are the celebrities. The Earth is but a speck of dust in the solar system, but for the humans living on Earth, the Festival de Cannes might as well be its own entire galaxy. With the world's hugest movie stars congregating in one French town at the same time. While the rational side of me dismisses the idea of fame as an excessive social construct, if I run into someone who is remotely famous, I will stand on tiptoes trying to get a picture of them on my phone. Which is actually exactly what happened when I saw Spike Lee show up for an evening screening. He was premiering his movie David Byrne's American Utopia on the beach on the last night, and it's a musical movie, so halfway through the movie when everybody was just dancing to the music, Spike Lee shows up and he starts to dance, or at least however you can dance, while being surrounded by five emotionless security guards. And as he was being escorted, his hands in the air, the archaic desire for contact with a famous person got the best of me, and I reached out my hand, and I briefly touched Spike Lee's fingers, as the guards squeezed him out of the crowd like the last drop of toothpaste. But that's not the craziest celebrity encounter I've had during the festival. On the second last day of the film fest, I saw online that Bill Murray, yes, the Bill Murray, was going to be performing a musical act for a movie premiere. And do you know what other movie Bill played in this year? The French Dispatch. And do you know which movie poster I hauled all the way from Vancouver to the French town of Cannes for the potential of getting an autograph from one of its cast members? I think you can see where this is going. So, night of the premiere, I show up early enough to get an aisle seat. The movie, the quote-unquote movie, is actually just a recorded performance of Bill Murray and some musicians at a Greek amphitheater. And then the special guests arrive. The cellist Jan Vogler, Mira Wong, the violinist, Vanessa Perez, the pianist, the director Andrew Muscato, and then of course, Bill Murray, the man himself. Everybody claps. Standing ovation for 2 minutes. Some are standing on tiptoes to get a picture of Bill Murray. We eventually settle down, the Cannes Film Festival intro plays, and the movie begins. I don't know how much I am allowed to talk about it, but it was a fun movie, and everybody, of course, falls in love with Bill Murray. And after the movie ends, a piano gets set up on the stage in front of the screen, and Bill Murray gets up on stage along with the musicians, and they just start performing live.
I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man is another child that's grown old. His dreams were
Bill Murray starts singing to some beautiful, beautiful piano, cello, and violin music.
This old house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel, fly from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Jockey for Victor Records, listening for his master's voice and looking like a living question mark. Into the great gramophone of puzzling existence with its wondrous hollow horn, which always seems just about to sport foul. Some victorious night, a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring a drink.
And then the musicians began this musical interlude of some Shostakovich waltz. And out of nowhere, Bill Murray pulls out a bunch of roses. And he gets off the stage. And he starts to throw the roses into the audience. And he begins to walk down my aisle. This whole time, I am about to have an overdose of adrenaline. And as he passes right beside me, I weakly mumbled, "Mr. Murray, can you sign my poster?" But to my great embarrassment, shame almost, he ignores me and keeps walking. And as if to sprinkle salt onto my wound, he throws a rose to the guy sitting beside me. As I sink back into my seat, I abandon my plans to get any autographs for my poster and to just enjoy the rest of the evening.
The night is young, the night is young. Let's go outdoors and have some fun, eh?
When the whole set is done, he disappears behind the stage. The lights are turned back on. People are getting up to leave. And then, at that moment, Bill Murray shows up onto the stage again. And like squirrels, I notice people starting to crowd around him, but not that many yet. So I grab my poster tube and I sprint up to the front of the theater.
Pardon.
And I utter with the most desperate and archaic plea for an autograph.
Bill, can you sign my poster, please?
Here, help me drink that. Okay, yes, I saw you were. Okay, I'm gonna put, I like to put them over here. I don't want to mess that up.
Oh, God. So thanks so much.
I walk out of the room in a trance, incapable of human language. I kneel down in a corner of a stairwell, trying to gravitate my soul back from the astral planes and to arrange my belongings. And as I was rummaging my fingers through the backpack, that was when I realized a fact that invariably added the perfect maraschino cherry on top of the evening. Bill Murray took my Sharpie. It occurs to me that none of my highlights from the festival actually involved any movies in particular. And for the record, yes, I did end up watching The French Dispatch, and it was great. But what made that experience memorable were the two Lithuanian guys I just met in the queue of the movie just before the screening started. And throughout the festival, my experiences have been peppered with these kind of friendly encounters that seem to be more memorable than the plot of any movie. Maybe that's actually the whole point. A more highbrowed reporter might tell you that art and cinema in and of itself is important. But for me, those things are just an excuse for us to share something with each other. In terms of content, a film festival is no different from a movie binge marathon in your room. But what makes the Festival de Cannes such a huge cultural event, I think, is the sniffs and shuffles of the strangers sitting beside you, the technicians eating their lunch behind the stage, the journalists adjusting their cameras on the streets, and the celebrities walking up the red carpet. Sure, when we go to a theater, we're watching a movie, but really, what we're seeing is the light from hundreds of other people's eyes, all casted towards the same thing for a brief but unbreakable moment. Bill, take us out, won't you? If you're intrigued by the Cannes Film Festival and would like to find out more, especially if you can apply for this 3-day in Cannes Youth Pass, do make sure you check out their website at festival-cannes.com. The song you're listening to right now is Aline by Christophe, performed by the one and only Bill Murray, with Jan Vogler on the cello, Mira Wong on the violin, and Vanessa Perez on the piano. The rest of the program is scored with music from R.I.P. featuring Nick Stratton on the guitar, Louis Zong, as well as a clip of the song Zembra from David Byrne's American Utopia. You're listening to Lorem Ipsum on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people on UBC Point Grey campus. Thanks again for your attention. I'm Dion Feng.
Stop that.